Awesome. Appreciate Ryan and Riley singing this morning. Russell, either one of them. Messed up their name, it'll be all right. It's awesome to see them as they have grown, and physically and spiritually. I've been their pastor, or at least their associate pastor, since they were like 1 or 2 years old. And now to see Riley be graduating from college this year, and what a blessing. And Russell's a year off. He'll make it next year. So we're excited for them and for their life and the example and testimony that they are. And what a blessing. Turn, if you would. I really have about the message this morning. And I know the application this morning will be somewhat limited and to the group I'm preaching to, but I felt that this is where the Lord was leading. So turn, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, we'll start there. And speaking about, again, the family, speaking on having a Christian family, responsibilities of that when it comes to child rearing and being a parent. And again, now you can see why I'm saying that the application may be somewhat limited, but I want to encourage every one of you, and as I do every time I preach on the family, that grandparents, you have just as much a part, and you can have just as much a part in the rearing of your grandchildren as you did your children. The influence you can have, and I've gave the example of my grandparents, especially on my dad's side, who had a great impact on my life in the way that I was raised, and so I'm so thankful for that. I'm thankful for the influences, the godly influences in my life. I think about my mom as she's in heaven. First Mother's Day without my mom, and I'll speak about her in a moment. But remembering all the influences in my life and what a blessing that God would have allowed me to be raised in a Christian home. But a Christian home isn't a Christian home simply because we're born in America or because we attend church every once in a while. A Christian home requires a few things, and we're not going to specifically preach on that. But just a reminder, in order to have a Christian home, you must be saved. You must know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And I pray this morning that you personally know Jesus Christ, that you at some point in your life have accepted Him as your Lord and Savior, that you have called upon His name, that there's been a time when you transferred your trust from your works or maybe from your baptism or from church membership or whatever you think might be getting you there to believing and trusting in Jesus Christ and Him alone. Because being a Baptist won't get you to heaven. Being a Methodist won't get you to heaven. Being a good person will not get you to heaven, but simply by grace. I love the song they sang just a moment ago. For by grace are you saved through faith. It's through faith. That not of yourself, but it's a gift of God. Not of works, not by anything we can do, lest any man should boast. It's by believing and trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. His life, His death, and thank the Lord for His resurrection on the third day. And by placing our faith in Him, His life, His death, and His resurrection, we can have everlasting life. In order to have a Christian home, one must be saved. In order to have a Christian home, one must submit in obedience to the Lord. And as we're raising our children, as we're having our home, that we follow the roadmap. This is it, the Bible. We're not following some self-help guru or some book we found at Barnes & Noble, but we follow the book, the greatest book on earth. Unparalleled at stand. Its author, God, its truth divine, inspired in every word and line, though written by human hands. This is the greatest book on earth. Amen. And it's our roadmap for life. It's our roadmap for our family. Having a Christian home. Well, let's look at the verse. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Speaking of being disciplines and the instructions of the Lord. We think about Exodus chapter 20, where Paul is drawing this verse from in the Ten Commandments. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12 says, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. We see the reoccurrence of this commandment in Deuteronomy and many other places, that as children we are to obey our father and our mother. that it may be well with us, that we may receive a blessing, that things may go well with us, and that we might have a long life. And of course, this is the first of the Ten Commandments, the only Ten Commandments that comes with a promise. And that is, again, that we would have long life. So that makes it special. It makes it something special. Let's pray. Lord, we pray that you bless this time, bless the reading of your word. I pray that we would, as Christians, have the family that you would want us to have, that we'd follow the roadmap, your Bible. In Jesus' name, amen. We understand and know that God instituted the family first. God's institution for the human race was the family. The problem with our country, of course, is a turning away from God, but more so than that, it is the family breakdown, the family unit breakdown. And we need to restore that unit. And as Christians, we ought to be following, again, the instructions of the Lord and not the instructions of the self-help or the counselor or the person there who's writing a particular book, but we need to go to the book for counsel and for direction as we raise our families. Again, this is the only Ten Commandment with a promise, again, that we might have long life and have blessing. We know that the law is divided up, and I'm not going to go into all these things, but that fifth commandment is, again, to parents, to fathers and mothers, reminding us that we are representatives to our children. I'm going to preach this in a moment, that we as father and mother need to raise our children according to the nurture and admonition of the Lord, the instructions and the tenets of the Word of God. It says there in Mark, and we're not going to turn there again, Mark chapter 7, it kind of reiterates these same promises. It says, "Full well you reject the commandment of God, that you may keep your own tradition. For Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother, and whoso curses father and mother, let him die." And what had happened was the Pharisees and Sadducees had boasted about their keeping of the law, but many times they would skirt the law by their traditions. In other words, they wouldn't keep the law, but they would come up with another law by man in order for them to escape the justice of the Heavenly Father. In other words, if in the Old Testament you were a child and you were rebellious and you disobeyed your parents and that was a constant action in your life, there was a commandment that said that you would be put to death. I'm just saying what the Old Testament said. By the way, that's an Old Testament contract, Old Testament covenant. I'm glad we're no longer under that Old Testament covenant because there might be some kids in danger in here. By the way, let me just, very quickly, you have to stipulate between the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. The Old Testament and the New Testament. And remember, there are certain things in the Old Covenant, again, that are not applicable to us. Thankfully. In fact, Paul said in 2 Corinthians, he said, we have it far more glorious than they did in the Old Testament. Amen. And what glory they had in the Old Testament, the New Testament's glory far excels it. And that's a whole other sermon. But understand that the Pharisees and Sadducees in Jesus' day were not keeping that particular law. But in Mark, it talks about they would give gifts or they would go to the priest and basically, I'm going to use the word, buy them off. And so that their kid would be spared being put to death. And therefore, justifying that the priest said it was okay, then we're all right. But by the way, it don't matter what man says. Amen. It's what does the Bible say? Amen. What does the Bible say? The Bible says for a child to honor his father and his mother. This commandment, again, puts father and mother alongside each other. Can I tell you again that the Bible gives specific roles to the father and the mother, but those specific roles are equal but different. And we ought to follow the role that God has given to us. And we, again, parents should honor each other. If we're going to have our kids honor us, then we need to honor each other. Amen. Your kids will honor you when you honor each other. We have a divine responsibility, and that is, as parents, we have a divine responsibility to, and I'm going to touch on this more in a moment, to make sure that our children honor and obey. Children in here, young adults, young people, You have a divine responsibility to honor your father and your mother. It's a divine responsibility. It's not given by man. It's given by God. A divine responsibility to honor. Again, we think about honor. We think about the American flag and standing at attention. It means to swell with pride. It means to admire. It means to respect, to honor, to respect. It also implies obedience. And that's where Ephesians comes in, where Paul says to not only just to honor, but to obey. Remember there in verse 1, it says, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and the mother. The Old Testament Ten Commandments said to honor thy father and mother, but with honor, comes obedience. It's implied. And so it's not that Paul is necessarily adding to the law. He is simply summarizing it and embellishing it for us to help us understand what the law actually means. I'm glad the New Testament gives us further detail into Old Testament instruction. And that's what Paul's doing. We have divine responsibility to obey our parents. That means to obey them every day. It doesn't mean just to obey them when we feel like it, but it means to obey them other way. By the way, obeying your parents, our parents, if your child is obeying, but they're rolling their eyes, they're really not obeying. They may do it outwardly, but they're not doing it inwardly. And it really is an affair of the heart, and that we should shepherd a child's heart, that we should pay attention to the inside and that influence on their inside and their heart. I can't overstate the influence of parents in a child's life. I can't overstate the mother's influence in a child's life. Nobody is self-made. Everyone has been influenced by those around them, especially influenced by parents. And I'm thankful for my mom influencing me in my life. And my mom was sick most of her life, and most of the time I can remember she was sick. But I think the greatest, and I've said this at her funeral, the greatest characteristic of my mother was absolutely one of compassion. And I believe this a lot of times is just inherent with ladies. It's amazing how God has put that in ladies to be nurturers and that compassion they have. My mom was so compassionate. And giving. Wanted her children to have... We were talking about this the other day, that my dad, you know, had a good job. Not a high-paying job, but a good job. We lived in a modest three-bedroom brick home, typical 1970s home, you know, 1,200 square feet. We lived on about a half acre or about a quarter of an acre out in the country. Had a big garden and just lived on a dirt road. And I just enjoyed my upbringing so much. I every time I get a chance, I'd drive by that old house and look at it. My family hates it that I do that, but I say, hey, y'all want to go see where I was raised? It's awesome. Y'all got to go see the house. And because my in-laws still live in Nakona, we drive by close to that house I was raised in a lot, you know, several times a year. And I had to go to the doctor for my leg here recently, you know, last couple of weeks, and I drove by that house, just had to, on my way back. It takes 2 minutes. Great memories there, being raised in that house. And my mom was just a compassionate, caring, giving person. And we were talking about this the other day. She wanted her children to look good. And she would do so at the peril of being griped out by my dad of spending so much money. But I tell you what, myself, my older brother, my younger sister, we always looked sharp. My mom made sure. My mom, some of y'all remember, she always dressed very, very nicely, just always immaculately dressed, everything in place. But she was so caring to us about making sure that we were presentable. And there's a whole lot of more words I'd use. But she was just caring. She was giving, compassionate. We all have those influences in our life. I think more so than anything, I'm not saying I'm the most compassionate person in the world, but certainly more compassionate. And my dad may be watching, which would be fine. But certainly the compassionate and giving side, most of that comes from my mom. And I'm thankful for that. Compassionate, caring, and giving. We have divine responsibility, again, to honor and obey our parents. The honor, again, implies obedience. By the way, obedience means not just to do so or do what is asked of us, but to do so immediately without challenge, excuses, or delay. When you tell your child to do something and they delay to do it, they're not obeying. When you tell your child to do something and they challenge it, they're not obeying. When you tell your child to do something and they make excuses like, well, I didn't hear you, they're not obeying. And you're just as responsible, I am just as responsible for my child not obeying as that child not obeying. I am just as responsible. I am there as a parent, as the authority in that child's life to make sure that they obey. And that's why I made that reference about a child rolling their eyes. If a child rolls their eyes at you, they're not obeying. They're not obeying. And so it's our job to be sure that we're there. By the way, we are the authority over our children. No matter what society makes us say, he who pays the bills makes the rules. And we are we are the dad and the mom. We are in the authority that God has placed us there. That's the point too. It's not that we're not in charge or we're not the authority figure in our child's life because we're stronger or smarter or faster or bigger, but because we're God's agents. God put us in that position. And yes, I'm bigger. Yes, I'm smarter. Yes, I'm faster. I used to be faster. Yes, I'm stronger. No, I'm just kidding. But we're not there in that authority position because of those things. We're there because God has placed us there. Listen, parent, grandparent, you are God's agent. God has placed you in that position. And we need to take that position with the authority which is given. In other words, we ought not to be timid when it comes to our authority when it concerns our children, because it was given to us from God. Freedom for a child is found in obedience, not independence. Freedom for a child is found in obedience to the parents. We are called, we as parents are called to be in charge. Grandparent, you're called to be in charge. And we must shape the lives of our children as it pleases God, not us. There are times I don't want to do certain things to my child to get them back in the obedience circle. But I'm as an agent of God, I'm responsible for that. I'm to make sure that my child has those boundaries and that they are being obedient, honoring their parents. Again, God has commanded us as parents, we are under God's authority. And when a child is disobedient, their disobedience is between the child and God, not just the child and the parent. Does that make sense? When a child is disobedient, they're not just disobeying the parent, they're disobeying God. Because God has said that they are to obey their parent. We are called to obedience. Proverbs chapter 6 speaks about the correction being the way of life. That we must understand and we are directed by God to direct and correct and discipline our children. We are mandated to act. Not just as an advice, not just giving options. In other words, it's not just telling a child, hey, do this. When we tell them to do something, it's not like giving them options like we give them food options. You sit down at the table and you say, oh, you can have this, this, or this, and you give them options. No, obedience isn't like that. You're telling them this is what you're going to do, and you require them to do it. Act to act, mandates. A child learns to make good decisions by watching. They learn from us. Are we obedient to those around us? Are we obedient to those in authority above us? We'll talk about that in a moment. We must and should be kind and gracious. Right? We should be kind and gracious. Hello. We should be kind and gracious. Some parents have that John Wayne mentality when it comes to parenting. And I'm telling you, that's not the greatest way to raise children. Well, listen up, partner. You know, it's just not the way to do it. And certainly a child should obey and not just because they have to, because they want to. You should be, again, challenging and equipping them and establishing them and shepherding their heart and instructing them. This authority, again, was instituted us by God. It's established by the Lord. By the way, the home was established by the Lord. Amen. With all its innate authority. The state was established by the Lord. We've got to be reminded of that. And we think about that. The church, of course, established by the Lord. We exercise authority under God. We are His agents. We talk about John Wayne influence. Yes, I don't think you should raise your children as John Wayne might, but don't be a wimp either. Some parents are just wimps. I don't know if that applies to you or not, but if the shoe fits, wear it. It's kind of blunt, wasn't it? We are the authority. We must exercise that authority. In fact, we are required to exercise that authority. That we are requiring our children to be obedient because they are called by God to honor and obey their parents. Not as a cruel taskmaster, right? Jesus Christ, the God of the universe, was here on earth. He wasn't a cruel taskmaster. We must be kind and gracious, like we said. Kind and selfless, but again, exercising that authority as parents. Shepherding our child's heart. We're there to guide them. Not just in the what, but the why of the children's actions. Rules without reason produces rebellion. But more so than that, rules without relationships and reasons produces rebellion. It's more than just saying to them, this is what you're going to do. it is explaining to them why, when you have that opportunity. Now, sometimes young people understand, if I tell my child to do something, I want them to do it. I may not have time to tell them why right then, but if they'll come back and ask, I'll tell them why. You know, why don't I let our children out past 12 o'clock or 10 o'clock on the weekdays? Well, there's nothing good happens after 12 o'clock. No curfew should be after 12 o'clock. You say, well, I don't know. My child's 21 now. So, do you pay the bills? Are you providing a roof over their head? Okay, then set the rules. Nothing good. What good happens after 12 o'clock? Set the rules. Have boundaries. And you say, well, then they're required to obey? Yes. It might be good to explain to them why, especially if they're 17 or 18. Right? They're thinking people. You know, when they're 6 or 7, it might be hard to get them to reason and understand, but when they're 16, they can understand. So sit down with them. I think about that principle and conviction and standard found in the Bible. The Bible says, put no wicked thing before thine eyes. So as parents, we're to be careful what we put in front of our children's eyes, which means we're not going to watch certain things. Right? Not going to attend a rated R movie. Not going to do certain things. Because the Bible says, set no wicked thing before thine eyes. You've got to be careful. Okay, a child says, why can't I go see this movie? Well, because the Bible says, set no wicked thing before thine eyes. There's your explanation. So we need to be careful what we watch, what comes into our brains. Amen? So yes, you ought to. They ask the question, why? Give an answer. Give them an answer. But we need to shepherd them, instructing their minds, and we must lead their heart. And by leading their heart, we must understand that there is a purpose in their life, and there's a purpose in your life, and that is to glorify God and enjoy a relationship with Him forever. If everything's based upon that, when it comes to their life and shepherding them and telling them what to do and so forth, is that their purpose in life is to glorify God. Therefore, they'll be obedient to the commands of their parents. Values and spiritual vitality are not simply taught, but caught. In other words, if you're going to teach your child and tell your child to do something, you better be doing it yourself. It's the old adage, don't tell your kids not to smoke, but you're over smoking like a freight train. Yeah. That's hypocrisy. And it breeds rebellion in their life. I know I use that particular illustration, but there are many more. It's telling your child that God is first place, but not requiring them to be in church. Are you not coming to church? It's being hypocritical when it comes to the things of God. We need to be very, very careful. It's kind of like going to the store and the person gives you wrong change and you go out to your car and you brag about it and with your kids sitting in the back seat. Instead of going in and saying to that person, hey, you gave me the wrong change, I owe you some money. Amen? That we are a good example to them. It's telling your child to open the door for somebody, but you yourself don't open the door when they're watching you. It's just being that example. They're watching us. Again, spiritual vitality is simply not our values. Values are not simply taught, but caught. Most things are better that way, aren't they? Most things are better caught than taught. And so we need to be that example. By the way, nobody's perfect. And your kids know you're not perfect. Your spouse really knows you're not perfect, but your kids know you're not perfect. So we're not saying you can't foul up as a parent every once in a while. But understand that on a consistent basis, they can watch your life and they can mimic your life. Then we think about when it comes to authority and shepherding and then the centrality of the gospel. In other words, as we are instructing them, bringing them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, that we are directing them towards the gospel. By the way, the gospel will do the work. Amen. The gospel is powerful. And we think about that in our child's life. We should direct them again and again and again back to the gospel. Not just to what of their sin, but to why. In other words, not just that they are sinners, but why they're sinners. I just instructed them and getting them to understand that we are sinners by nature. In other words, me wanting to do something that's not right, me wanting to do something that is selfish is natural for me because I am a sinner. Hello? teaching a child that they are selfish by nature, that they are selfish, and bringing them to the gospel, that because we are selfish by nature, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Yes, I'm a sinner by nature. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. We are all sinners. What shall we say then? As it's written, there's none righteous, no, not one. We are all sinners by nature. You don't have to teach a child to sin. You don't have to teach a child to be selfish. They're selfish by nature. Hello, parents. You have to instruct them the other way. Some of you are about to become parents. You're going to find out very quickly that a child is selfish by nature. First time they come to the church nursery. Not the first time, but as they get older, come to the church, they'll be taking toys from other kids. It comes natural, especially Crawford kids, especially Joshua. He's the middle child. He hates that I never mentioned him, so I just mentioned him. The middle child gets nothing. You know that, don't you? The middle child's overlooked. It's called the middle child syndrome. I was a middle child. I felt it. It's real. It's real. Your parents need to be more careful about that middle child. You're welcome, Josh. The struggle's real for the second child. Sinners by nature. We're all sinners by nature. A child will naturally prone to do wrong. And we as parents have to instruct them to do right. We have to instruct them. We have to shepherd them. We have to, again, call them back to the gospel. It's the gospel that will make the difference in their life. At the age of 6, 7, and 8, all my children accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. It made the difference. It makes the difference. I'm glad when I get saved, I become a new creature in Christ. I receive the new nature. I receive a different want to. I no longer want to sin, though I still do. I certainly don't want to. And there's a new drive within me to do what's right. I'm thankful for that new nature I receive when I get saved. So when a 6, 7, or 8-year-old gets saved, it brings with it a new want to, a new drive in them to do right. I'm so thankful for that. And as a parent, we got to witness that in our own children's lives. We got to witness the change in their life after they got saved. One of them especially was more prominent, more... And none of my kids like for me to mention them from the pulpit, so it was Micah. It was the difference it made in their lives. Some of you may have a strong-willed child. I'm just telling you, as you train them as a child, when they're 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6, and 7, and as you're training them, you're teaching them the Word of God. You're bringing them along. You're instructing them. You're getting them in church. They're in children's church. They're in master's clubs. And you're instructing them at home through daily devotionals and family devotionals and prayer time. And you're instructing them. And as you're instructing them, yes, you're disciplining them. Yes, they're teaching them to obey. Yes, you're teaching them to honor. But you're also consistently bringing them back to the gospel. It's our job as parents to bring them to the gospel. We can't save them, but we can certainly instruct them, teach them the gospel in order they might be saved. The greatest decision you made in your life was when you got saved. And the greatest, one of the greatest events in my life was to see my children get saved. And the difference it makes in their life. In the gospel, there is power to live and power to transform. This provides for that child grace, that God's unmerited favor, the ability to overcome, the ability to have victory in their life, the ability to, by way of illustration, the ability to face a child bully. Really. Salvation, the grace of God, helps us as we face those circumstances in our life, and that we face them differently than the world faces them. If faced with a child bully, what do? Well, you extend grace to them. When they push, you pray for them. That's what the Bible says. Pray for those who spitefully use you. If we as adults are to trust the bullies around us to the great judge, as the Bible has said for us to do, shouldn't our children do the same? But without grace, that's impossible. We're to love our enemies, the Bible says. But without grace, that's impossible. Amen. And as our children grow, they'll learn of that same grace through the Holy Spirit, through the salvation they receive. The Bible makes it clear that we as Christians need to instruct our children when it comes to the gospel. That we are under God. As we think about parenting, it's not just putting a roof over their head or food on the table, but shepherding them on God's behalf. Shepherding, listen to this, shepherding requires time. Love is spelled T-I-M-E. As parents, we have to spend time with our kids. Shepherding requires time and love and learning. Each child, what makes them tick? As parents, it is having clear objectives, directions for them, helping them to understand God's standard of behavior. We must have humility, understanding that we are God's ambassadors, representatives to our children, that we represent that relationship. Understanding that as parents, there's no place for anger. Anger simply manipulates the child, certainly doesn't instruct them. Hello? You parents who lose your temper with your child, you're not instructing them. That's a hard one, isn't it? They must learn correction, not because we are always right, but because God says the rod imparts wisdom. Discipline is an expression of love. Proverbs 3:12, 13, 24. There's many verses that speak about that. I'm just saying this morning that as parents, we need to be the authority in our child's life. That we help them in endeavoring to honor and obey us. And as children, they're responsible for that, to honor and obey. As they honor and obey, we must understand it's our divine responsibility as fathers and mothers, as representatives of God to them. Think about this for a moment. If they're going to disobey you, why wouldn't they disobey God as well? As they grow up, this actually corresponds with every relationship in their life. If they won't honor and respect you, why would they honor and respect a policeman? Amen? By the way, do you honor and respect the policeman when he pulls you over? If your kids are sitting in the back, you better be careful. Why would they honor and respect their teacher? Everybody with me? If you're not requiring them to honor and respect you. Doesn't that really come down to what's wrong with America? Man, there was a time when kids got in trouble at school. They got double trouble at the house. But now the parent goes up to the school to find out why, you know, the teacher has somehow accused their little angel of doing something wrong. You say, well, there's always, you know, that 1%. There's always that 1% when it comes to any profession. Are you saying that every time your child gets in trouble, that each one of those teachers is the 1% that's wrong? Or maybe it's your child that's the problem. That's a hard one. I appreciate the amens. And some of the younger parents are going like, I remember many times getting in trouble at school. My dad never went to the school to accuse my teachers of anything. He just saw the note and he said, go to the room. And then the Board of Education was applied to the seat of understanding. Again, the school applied it, then my dad applied it. And guess what? I went back the next day and apologized to my teacher. And that's when I decided to become a brown noser. And from the time of about my fifth or sixth grade year on, I was absolutely doing my very best to be the teacher's pet. And I was. My high school graduation, I got the trophy for best citizenship because I was a super brown noser. I really did get the trophy, just to let you guys know. I'll bring it out sometime. I'm just saying again, as parents, we need to be a good example to our children because we represent those relationships to them. We need to be careful when it comes to that in raising our kids. So much here. I've got like 1,000 notes. The Bible says here that, "Children, obey your parents and the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother," which is the first commandment with promise, "that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth." The Bible says that if a child will honor and obey his parents or her parents, then they'll have long life and they'll receive, and it will be well with them. In other words, they'll receive a blessing. This is called, and I like this, there's a book called Shepherding a Child's Heart, and some of you ought to get it. It's really, I think it's the best parenting book out there right now. And they give the example of the circle of blessing, of the circle of blessing. In other words, place your child inside of a circle, and on top of the circle is honor, and the bottom of the circle is obey. On the left is long life, and on the right is well with thee, or blessing. As long as your child is inside the honor, inside the circle, in other words, as long as your child is honoring and obeying you, the Bible says they'll have long life and it will be well with them. When we as parents allow them to get outside the circle, then that promise no longer applies to them. They no longer have the promise of a long life and no longer have the promise of being well with them. So as a parent, wouldn't you want to keep your child in that circle of blessing? Shouldn't we do everything we can as a parent to keep our children inside that circle of security that God has provided for them? Then I think as parents, we ought to do that. Children, when you decide to disobey, young people, when you decide to disobey your parents, you're putting yourself outside the circle and you're at risk. You're in danger. In fact, as parents, when we discipline, we're on a rescue mission to rescue them and put them back in the circle of blessing, to put them back in that place in which God can bless them. As a parent, you're on a rescue mission. As a parent, we need to take that responsibility and not take it lightly. I know we don't, but at certain times, we get tired in the way, we get tired in the way, we get tired in the way. We need to maybe regroup and refocus as parents and say, I'm going to require my children to honor and obey me. And I'm going to do so by putting these particular boundaries in place. I'm going to sit down with my older children and explain to them, hey, I wasn't doing this exactly right, but let me show you what I want to do. And I want you to obey your daddy or obey your mama. I want you to respect your daddy and respect your mother, and that God may bless you. It's harder to do with teenagers if you haven't done it already. It's better, as the Bible says, train up a child in the way it should go. It's better to do this when they're 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8. But it can still be done as a teenager. To sit down with your teenager and explain it to them. Teenagers can be reasoned with. I know you may not think that, but they can be. Especially when it comes, if they're saved, hello? If they have the Holy Spirit inside of them, they can be reasoned with for the Bible. We as parents need to keep our children in that circle of honor and the honor and blessing. That they might enjoy the land, there in verse 12. Understanding that the desire is here that our children would have lives that are enjoyable. That's what I almost preached on this morning. God did not intend, I preached on this a few weeks ago, God did not intend for us to endure life. He meant for us to enjoy life. As parents, He meant for you to enjoy parenting and not endure parenting. And I promise you that as you follow the Lord's steps, that you follow the roadmap the Bible gives us in raising children. And that is, again, to raise them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, to train them in the way they should go. Again, it's not just discipline. That's absolutely required. But it's also being that example to them. Understanding that those relationship that you have with them also represents the relationship they have with their Heavenly Father. My relationship with my kids as a dad is a representation of the relationship they have with their Heavenly Father. We must understand and conclude that we need the Lord's help. I'm telling you, it's only by the grace of God that kids turn out to be anything good. And as parents, we need to get on our face before God and say, Lord, I'll do my very best, but Lord, I know that you're the one who empowers and gives grace. Lord, help me. Sometimes it's good to go to the Lord and just say, Lord, I don't understand, and I don't have all the answers. Lord, I know you do. And as a parent, I want to do my very best to keep my children in that circle of blessing. Understand that I'm the authority, and I am the authority. That has not been given to me because I'm bigger, smarter, faster, so forth. That authority has been given to me by God. Amen. And I'm to exercise that authority graciously and kindly, but not giving up my authority. And then understanding that I'm representation of the relationship between our Heavenly Father and His children. Understanding that it's my responsibility as a parent to do that. And then, of course, my responsibility as a parent to teach them the gospel, to bring them back to the gospel over and over and over again. Understanding that a Christian home is not a Christian home because I was born in America or because I attend church. A Christian home, number one, a person to have a Christian home, they must be saved. Do you know you're saved? Do you know Jesus Christ is your Savior? The greatest decision you'll ever make is to place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. You want help with your home? Come get saved. I'm not saying all your problems will disappear, but certainly God will walk you through your problems, and God will help you face your problems. And God will instruct you and give you grace and power in being a parent and being a grandparent. By the way, you grandparents, a bunch of you in here, you need to back your children up when it comes to raising their kids. Amen? Doesn't mean you can't spoil those grandkids, but there's a little line there you don't want them to cross. I'll give this illustration, I'll be done. A lot of y'all know my relationship with my pawpaw. This is my dad's dad. My relationship with my pawpaw was a special relationship. Of course, I was the best grandkid that he had, and I was his favorite, always his favorite. My grandparents had a farm. My dad now lives on that farm up in Oklahoma, Duncan, Oklahoma. It's about 90 acres. It's not a big farm, and really it's not a farm. We don't raise anything anymore. They used to. We used to have a fruit stand. But I remember as a kid with my pawpaw, and he loved me. Him and I had a lot in common. I like to work with my hands, and I like to ride the tractor. I like to plow. I like to weld. I like to do all those things. And so me and my pawpaw had a better connection than my older brother, who didn't know the difference between a screwdriver and a crescent wrench. And so there was some miscommunication there between my pawpaw and my brother. So as I was being raised in that, I do remember with my pawpaw from time to time, I know this sounds not true, but it is true, from time to time, my pawpaw would see me do something wrong. And my pawpaw did give me a whipping every once in a while. And I was the favorite grandchild. And I still got a whipping from him every once in a while. Did I deserve it? Yes. Did I need it? Yes. And I'll never forget my pawpaw, my grandma, good Christian people, always backing up my parents. In fact, not just backing them up, but undergirding it. When I went to pawpaw and grandma's house, I didn't hear cussing. I didn't hear things that were wrong. Man, we read the Bible. We sang together. I went to church when I went to church. I can still remember some of the Sunday school teachers at my grandparents' church. It's amazing. That is awesome. I want to challenge you grandparents as well. Be that kind of influence in your grandchildren's lives. I've said this before. My pawpaw was the one who helped encourage me to memorize Psalm 23. We memorized it together one time. I don't remember why exactly, but I just know that we sat down in his bed and we were memorizing it every night, because I'd stay with him 2 or 3 weeks at a time. And it just had an influence in my life. You can be that kind of influence. Amen. Let's all stand. Hymn 163, Only Trust Him. Mother's Day. Parenting. Grandparenting. Being that influence, being that authority in our children's lives, keeping them in that circle of blessing, loving and instructing our children. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time we've had to come and to, again, learn from your word. I pray this morning that we as parents and children would recognize the authorities in our life, and that we would be obedient to those authorities. Lord, that we might have a long life, and then it might be good for us and might be a blessing. We thank you for what you'll do. In Jesus' name, amen. Hymn 163, Only Trust Him, as we sing.